Amen. We just bless the Lord for his goodness and mercy. Amen. I don't know when someone unplugged the baptismal pool, but hopefully it'll be warm enough. Amen. I know one thing for sure, it'll be warmer than it was when a lot of us got baptized. Because when we got baptized, they had to break the ice out the water. Amen. So we just bless the Lord for that. Truly, God is a good God. Amen. And, you know, you think to yourself, what would I be today if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if he didn't
care?
If he didn't care? Where would I be if he didn't sacrifice? I'm so glad. Anybody glad? I said, I'm so glad that he did. Amen. We just sent a few minutes or something to the screen, because whoever unplugged the baptismal pool, unplugged everything. The screen, the computer, amen. I guess that's why they hardwired. So I got a job to do this week. We'll make sure that won't happen in the future. Amen. So I'm gonna put on my pseudo-electrician clothes. The only thing about that pseudo-electrician stuff, every once in a while you get a little zap. That's why I'm a pseudo. real electricians don't get zapped. Amen. But I get zapped every once in a while. But nevertheless, with the help of the Lord, we'll make sure this doesn't happen again. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand today. Amen. We do honor the Lord. We honor God for his presence that's in his place. Truly, I've learned that without God, we can do. Now, we can do a lot of things without him, and they won't succeed like they can when you do it with him. But we bless the Lord and honor the Lord today for his presence. I thank God for my wife and help, even though she's fighting an affliction. Amen. God is still good. Yes. We thank God for all the elders, the ministers, the deacons, the mother of the church, and everyone in their respective places, because God is good. How many know if you all weren't here, we wouldn't have a church? If you all weren't here, we wouldn't have a church. So the challenge next week is bring somebody else. Right? Because they need church too. Can we say praise the Lord? I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the book of Philippians. We're going to read from chapter 1. We're going to read verses 8, 3 through 6. And then after we read 3 through 6, we're going to drop down to read verses 8 through 14 and conclude by reading the 20th verse together. Amen. You know, the Bible is so important. This is what Jesus said in the 5th chapter of the book of John, the 39th verse. He says, search the scriptures. I mean, if Jesus tells you to do something, he pretty much knows you need help. So he says, search the scripture, because they are they that testify. Hallelujah. So you got to search God's word. Amen. Do we all have it? If you don't have it, it should be on the screen. Gotta restart the computer. All right, but we're going. Hopefully, the computer will catch up. As I said, the computer had a crash. Amen. But nevertheless, we go on in Jesus' name. Verse 3 reads, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all justice, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bond in Christ are manifested in all the palace and in all other places, and many other brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bond, are much more bold to speak the word without fear, according to my earnest expectation.
Verse 20, sorry.
I shall by itself, so I think the video can catch it. Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so that also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be my life or let us pray. Lord, we thank you once again for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you for new mercies that we received when we woke up this morning. And Lord, we thank you for, according to the scripture, great is thy faithfulness. And Lord, as we assemble today in thy presence, we ask you to speak. Lord, in the name of Jesus, search every heart. Lord, search every mind. Lord, intervene in circumstances. Lord, touch, Lord, heal, Lord, deliver, and set free. Lord, we ask you to send the word, for your word declares that you send his word to heal and to deliver. Send the word, send an anointing. And for this, we thank you, can the church say in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Amen. On last Sunday and Wednesday, we went over, going over Thomas. Amen. And on Wednesday, we asked the question, are you another Thomas? Because Thomas had a problem, and Thomas' problem was a what? Doubt. Right? That's where we get the name, Doubting Thomas. Thomas had a problem that he doubted the Lord. And you know, and I was reading concerning Thomas and the book of John, you know, I was kind of shocked, amazed to see that the Apostle John, in dealing with the church and believing, he uses the word believe 50 times in the Gospel of John. 50 times in the Gospel of John, because he's trying to convey a message of how important it is to believe. And somebody may ask, well, how did John know? The Bible says he was the beloved disciple. He was closer to the Lord than all the others. I'm sure that he must have got some greater insight. Because John uses believe over 50 times in his Gospel. If you could combine 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, all together he uses the word believe over 60 or more times. Matthew uses the word believe, I believe, 5 to 6 times. Mark uses the word believe around 10 or 11 times. And Luke only uses believe 5 times. Did you know that? Oh, I said, we're going to check that out. Check it out. But I can tell you this, all the other writers in the New Testament, the gospel writers, use believe sparingly. But there was something in John's spirit that let him know that in order for us to get to where we need to be in God, we got to have some faith to believe. Now, also another interesting thing about John is that all the other apostles died of some type of death through martyrdom. But John died of a natural death. Something about believing God, even when they tried to kill John, they couldn't kill him. When the king or the emperor had him thrown into a vat of oil, he lived. There is something to go along with an apostle and a person of God believing. So they said, you know, we can't kill him. So what we're doing, we're putting him out on an island all by himself. Because they couldn't kill him. So they thought that they were doing something special by isolating John and putting him out on an island. So the Lord said, okay, so see, since you moved him away from everybody else, the Lord said, I'll just come to where he's at. And then I'm going to, since you so personal in your situation with John, he said, not only am I going to come to where he's at, he said, I'm going to give him a revelation concerning future events. Everybody just want to believe. Something about believing. So the Apostle John wrote the book of John, 1st and 3rd John, and then he has the book of Revelation. So I said, I choose to follow the person that believed in believing. Isn't that something he wrote? So a lot of times people will think they're doing you a favor. And when they put you out by yourself, just trust in God. Keep believing in God, amen? But let's get back to this. Now we know when Paul is writing this letter, he's writing from?
Prison.
From jail. He's in prison. Right? Verse 1, he calls himself a bond servant of Jesus Christ, which meant that he was a slave of the law, and whatever God commanded is what he would do. So he's writing this letter from prison. And verse 3 says, he said, I thank my God. Where are you at, John? I'm in prison. But I can't let nobody rob me of my praise. I can't let nobody steal my joy. I can't let nobody rob me of what God has given me. So I'm in prison. So I still thank you. Anybody can say, in spite of what I'm going on, I can still thank you.
Right.
So whatever you're going through, just remember you're representing
Christ.
like, how in the world is that going to strengthen somebody else? Paul, can you imagine Paul said, I'm in prison. I'm going to keep encouraging you. He said, you know, I don't want you to feel sorry for me for what I'm going through, because I'm going through. Anybody got that testimony? Whether it's through hell or high water, I'm going through. Things may be stacked against me, but I'm going through. Some say, I don't care what others may do, because I'm going
through.
I'm going through. If you look at me, maybe I don't have the smile that a lot of have. Maybe when you look at me, I don't appear to me, I look broken and disgusting.
And I heard somebody say, busted. That's what they say. Busted, what busted, disgusted, or whatever.
But anyway, when you look at me, I don't look so hot. But on the inside, I'm going through. And when I go through, hallelujah, I heard Job say, you might not understand it, and you might not figure it out, but he said, I'm going through in the day, and I shall come forth as pure gold. Maybe my situation is bleak. Maybe the doctor gave me a bad diagnosis. Maybe the bank call or the financial institution gave me a bad report. Hallelujah. Maybe I got something in the mail that I didn't like, but I'm still going.
I'm still going through.
Amen. And you know what happens when you're going through something? Others are watching you. They are watching to see what is your disposition while you're in the midst of it. Do you have a mind? Hallelujah. But Paul said, somebody say, be encouraged.
Yeah.
In spite of what you're going through, be encouraged.
Yeah.
Paul said, because everything that I've gone through, he said, is known everywhere. And isn't that something? A lot of times we go through stuff like that kind of thing.
Why?
What you're going through is going to strengthen somebody else. So I'm going through, I'm going to testify. I'm going to let somebody know, yeah, it's been bad. It's been hard. It's been difficult. But I read in the book of Revelation in the 12th chapter that we overcome by the words of our. A lot of us today, not you all, this is what it is. So you all have to feel good. Came Amen. The Bible says Jesus came to the woman at the well, and he was all by himself. That's what God is really working for. When it's just you and him, and you don't have no distractions. You don't have nobody else to discourage you. And the woman said, well, why are you dealing with me? Because the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. I'm wondering today, because there's some high holy people that have written on others, because God don't work with nobody like you. I heard him say, when the Pharisees said, Lord, what do you mean with those sinners? How many know God will come where you are? He said, why do you eat with the sinners? And Jesus said, they that are whole don't need a physician. But I'm coming to somebody who is sick. I'm coming to somebody who needs help. You got all the help you need in your mind. I'm going to come to somebody who has need some help. So Jesus told that woman, well, say, if you knew, do you all know who he is? He said, if you knew who I was, if you knew what I could do, you would be glad for me. So Jesus said, well, go call your husband. You know, something like that. They're telling people what right you are. Say, well, go call your husband. And she said, well, sir, the one I'm married to me is not my husband. He said, no, I don't. He said, you've been married 6 or 7 times. And the man you have married is not your husband. Now, everybody else would have wrote you off. Everybody else would have wrote the woman caught in adultery off. The big D is you disappointed everybody else. But God sees something in you that others don't see. God sees a goal at the end of the rainbow. Everybody is looking at you and laying with you for where you presently are. Hallelujah. But God says, my child. Anybody a child of God? God told the woman, he said, if you knew who I was and what I could do, I'd give you water that you don't know of. The woman said, well, you don't have no way to get down into this well to give me water. He said, that's the problem. I'm trying to give you something to help you spiritually. Right. You're looking for something. He said, the water I'm going to give you, I'm not talking about this natural water. But the water I'm going to give you will be water that's down in you, springing up into everlasting life. So the woman hears this and she said, you are a prophet. She goes back and tells them, but then they're going to bring us up to what we're trying to get to. I'm trying to get there. In the 4th chapter, there was a man in Capernaum whose son was sick. And he came to Jesus. If you read about things around St. John, the 4th chapter, the 48th verse, he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, come heal my son because he's grievous. He didn't have a regular sickness. He got one of them real, can't look at somebody and say, real bad. It's a real bad situation. Some of us got some of those real bad situations. Jesus can fix it. Right. Amen. So he says, my son is grievously sick. And he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, except you can see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Now, how many know Jesus didn't do that for that man? He was doing it for everybody else in her because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. So he didn't do it for the man, but he did it for everybody else so that they would have faith to go through. He already knew, so he said, since this is signs and wonders, you won't believe. And then the man said, your son has been made whole. Now, God did not do that for the man. He did it for everybody else.
he went through that big display, not for the man, but for others who were watching. So that they would know that he was going to bring them through. So as they watched the man, and the man left, and he just believed God's word. Anybody, when you leave today, are you going to believe God's word? Are you going to trust God's word? Are you going to let somebody else talk you out of your blessing? Not even the Lord can talk this man out. He said, listen, sir, I don't have time to debate. I need some help for my son. When you need help, you got to be desperate. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She said, I know there's a whole lot of people in my way. Anybody in your way from trying to get to God? Some loved ones in your way, you're trying to get to God. Amen. Family and friend in your way, you're trying to get to God. A husband and wife in your way, you're trying to get to God. Our children in your way, you're trying to get to God. Well, the Bible said there were so many people around Jesus. The woman said, I got to touch. Anybody need to just touch me?
Thank you, Lord.
He said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, she said, I shall be made whole. Yes. And with all those things that were blocking her, she pressed her way. You might have some great challenges. And to see where you need to be, all you can see is obstacles in your way. But you gotta press your way through it. Whatever it is, just go through it. And when do I stop? When I touch him. That's when you stop, when you touch the master. When you touch Jesus, then you stop. But I got to do whatever I can. And they said, well, your son is made whole. Now, once again, Jesus did not do this for the man, but he did it for what? Everybody else, because he knew what he was going to do. So the man asked the servant, he said, well, what day or what hour, what time did he begin to get better? And he told the man out. He said, that's the same time that Jesus told me to go. You got to go. Right? What happened to the man saying this? Well, Lord, no, no, no. I can't do this. But he believed God's word. And because he believed God's word by faith, God acted on that faith and performed a miracle for that man. And as a result of what he did for that man, others were strengthened. I wonder how many of us today have gone down into the valley of sad do nothing. Right? Not y'all. You're with me? I'm a little quiet. Am I even hurt? I sound like I'm getting something. I ain't gonna say that. I ain't gonna mention it. I'm getting quiet. So in my spirit, tell me, you hitting something. Now, some people are going through a whole lot of stuff. But some of them are even thinking of quitting and giving up on God. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever give up on God. You can give up on everyone else, but don't you give up on God. I don't care how deplorable your situation is. I know somebody said this, I'm smiling on the outside, but I'm crying. I'm crying on the inside. Just go through. Just press your way on. Keep fighting. No matter how difficult that challenge is, keep going. Then when you go through, somebody else is going to say, I remember what brother or sister so-and-so went through, and look what they are. Yeah. And because they went through, I know there's no secret what God can do. Anybody know that? There's no secret what God can do. What God your attitude as you go through. Now, a lot of us get some joy after we come out of it. Well, what was your attitude when you were going? You know what? So God, you know, God is a merciful God. God loves us. God said, you know what? You didn't pass the test. But I'm gonna give you a reprieve. Right now, because you're not passing the test. You're quitting more than fighting. You're giving up more than fighting. So God gives you a reprieve. And in the reprieve, he says, oh God, you deliver me. God said, no, you missed it. I didn't deliver you. You just continue right now. And because I'm God and I'm faithful, I never put more on you than you're able to bear. But I live with the temptation in the way for you to. He said, right now you just escaped. But you're not finished. Because your attitude was wrong when you were going. God said, but I wasn't going to allow your situation to break you. But I'm bringing it back again. Because you can never move to the next level until you pass the test. Alright, so a lot of times we get so excited, and then a few months later we have it again, you can pass the test. God hasn't delivered you. You thought he had delivered you, but God said, oh, I didn't deliver you. I just gave you a reprieve. But you still didn't pass the test. So God said, I'm going to bring that test full circle. That test is coming back because I can never move you to the next spiritual level until you pass the test. Peter is a classic example, as we all stand. Peter is a classic example. And we have to go back to the candidate if they would go out of this time. Peter is a class candidate, as the elders and the ministers come forward, of someone who kept failing God. Time and time again, Peter failed God. But at the end, Peter finally died. And on the day of Pentecost, he was a spokesman for the apostolic church. Because he finally got it. Don't look at where you've done, what you've done, and how you fail. It's time for us to believe God right now. Turn to your mind that you're going through. Do I have, give me a wave off if you're going through. Come on. By faith, I don't understand how I'm going to do it, but by faith I'm going through. Every time I look at the situation, it looks so horrendous by sight, but I thank God that I don't walk by sight, but I walk by. So I'm going through. Purpose today, God is going through. God doesn't hold anything that you did yesterday against you. Because every day with Jesus is a new day and new mercy. Purpose that you're going through. You don't know who's watching you. Especially parents with children. Your children are watching you. What do you do when you're in the midst of a terrible, bad situation? What is your attitude? Not your attitude in church, because everybody put forth a message for the church. But what is your attitude when you get home and nobody else sees you? Your kids are watching you. Your example that you set forth for them is teaching them something. Can we purpose no matter what?